Okay, we're on 76A.
76A.
About two lines down.
Wonderful day.
So I'm Rav Yosi bar Bung. Kozeya the nafka mi barnash samavasu chos mizias haponim. Any sweat that comes from your body is poison except for that which comes from the face. The Rambam writes this in Hilchos Deos. I'm sure you're all familiar with this already. People would ask Rav Yosi, he would say to them, Arva do not shok. I know. They wanted to know about eating fluids that are uncovered. He would say to them, am I the guarantor of your life? In other words, he's saying, don't take chances. Don't ask me questions about things which are, you know, are sakana. Just watch yourself, that's all. That's, you know, just watch yourself, okay? Now we've got, we're talking about the futility of saving uncovered linoleum. People may feel, oh, how can I throw this out? You know, there's that attitude, especially if you're a survivor's child. I know from my wife is a survivor's child, and I can tell you every last scrap is like, you know, very difficult to throw out. So, Amar Bianai, en kota kota shikhar. If you save, you save soot. In Oved, Oved Margoli, and if you lose, you lose a pearl. In other words, take a look at the risk. If it's got poison in it, and you drink it, then you lose your life, which is like a pearl, precious, more precious than a pearl. But if you win, you bet on it, and you win, guess what you won? You won a cup of water. Well, what did you win already? So don't take ridiculous chances. Boys, I have to ask you a question. You know that when you give $2 to tzedakah, that it's a win-win-win. You're going to get olam haba, you're going to get schar she'en la kitzva. And yet you go and you buy a lottery ticket where the chances are 1 in 300 million or whatever it is, whatever the number is, that you're going to win. Now, can you explain to me how that's not a violation of this gemara?
Yes, because you have a lot more collectors than you have that you're buying a lottery ticket.
I'm afraid I don't understand your answer. I'm not going to spend time on it.
It's not just one mishul okay. That comes into a shul. Mm-hmm. It's a busload of them.
I'm sure Ben Lakish.
You have to give out to everybody.
Ilu zavant garmach lulu dogin. What's that to my question? I'm not sure what you're talking about. If you would have sold yourself to the Lydians, those are cannibals, right? Have a mezavin lahon bedom in your current. Then you would have sold yourself for a high price. They'll pay a good price for you, especially if you're a little overweight, they like that, you know. V'hacha b'dom and kalilin. But here, by drinking these uncovered liquids, you're risking, look what at the price. Mm-hmm. You know, if you want to put a price on your body, how much you would sell it to the cannibals. It's funny, the Gemara Bava Kamma, when it says you're mazik someone and you figure out how much he's worth, it doesn't give that as the way to calculate it. You use the evid, you know, how much you sold as an evid in the shuk.
Sold yourself to a cannibal.
Tony, Mayim Shinskal. Here we have water became uncovered. You shouldn't lay the dust down within your house. I told you very often that in when I was a kid and we were in Muncie and we went on Simchas Torah. Muncie. We went on Simchas Torah to Beis Medrash Elyon. It was very Levitic over there, but it was an old building. And when people were dancing, the dust would just come out of the floorboards. And there were these little kids running around with soda bottles filled with water, spritzing the water on the floor to keep the dust down. So I'm very familiar with this.
This is like Europe.
This is much like Europe. So you shouldn't, if it has maybe some poison in it, you shouldn't do that, because if somebody walks barefoot, they might have a cut on their foot and then walk on the poison. Same reason, shouldn't pour out people walking around, you know, with sandals or something. They might cut their foot and it wouldn't be good. I can't forget the non-Jews. You shouldn't give your friend's animal to drink. You could give your own animal to drink. Here there is an important footnote here, 13 on the bottom. The Bavli says you're not supposed to give both your animal and your friend's animal. And our Yerushalmi seems to be saying you can give your own animal. What's going on over here? So it's the reason why you can't give your own animal is because if you kill the animal, it'll be baal tashchis.
It's not good, tzar ba'al chai.
Well, he'll die. It was, yeah, no. Wait, you mean the process of the death will be painful?
Yeah. That's what
you mean? Okay. It's more an issue of baal tashkas. Furthermore, if the animal belonged to someone else, you'd be damaging another person's property. Okay. So let's see what it says here.
You can do it to your cat, because cat is not an animal.
That's what it says over here. Where it gives you a heter to feed your own animal, it's talking about giving it to your cat. Because a cat, you know, Felix, he's not affected by a little poison from a snake, right? Okay, next. So that's the answer to the steerer. You can't give. Bottom line is, I just want you to not take away from this Yerushalmi that you could give your own animal. You cannot give your own animal. Okay? Here that it says you can, it's talking about your cat. And if you have a cat, that's your own problem. My emshin is gala. What's that, Svi?
I'm just laughing at it.
Okay, good. My emshin is gala. You shouldn't wet clay with it. Anything where you're working with your hands, with the raw material, we're afraid you're going to cut your hand, and then you'll be exposed to the poison. You can't wash clothes. You can't wash plates, cups, and platters. Of course, you can't wash your body, your face, your hands, your feet. Others say that the only problem washing your body is that there's some kind of indentation. So part of kesertahim, your face is like an area with an indentation, especially when you get a little older, then you have more indentations. Also, right?
You say something.
Rashi Etzba, no, I don't say so. It's something I read in a book. Rashi Etzba, os yod of raglav kiserta. The tips of your fingers, they're like areas with indentation, also. But the smooth parts of your hands, you could wash, according to this idea. Well, you got what it's not Isa. You can't knead dough with it. Okay? Now, that would be, if you did it, then the dough must be burnt, even if it's truma, certainly if it's chulin. This is kind of davar pasher, right?
Why is that? Poison.
It's poison. You got to get rid of it, right?
I really had a problem with snakes.
Poison even in a salad like this?
In an Isa?
Yeah.
Why not? I mean, I used for poison bread. Yeah, why not? From the Chemi Amar, Afiyot Mutter. If you did knead bread with it, and you bake the dough, it's permitted. Because he holds, Eras Nachash Kol Bo'or, that when you bake it in the oven, you'll end up causing the poison to. Yeah, I guess it'll make it good. I'm afraid. What happens if it's a little raw? What happens then? Anyway,
that's why they don't eat gebrochs.
That's why they don't eat gebrochs. Reb Simon b'shem Reb Yeshua ben Levi Amar b'she'ena nofelas. That's when it does not fall. When is it mutter? When the bread does not fall. But if the bread falls, then that's a sign that the venom is still active. Okay. If the venom is no longer active, then the bread will stay fluffy. The moist nofelas also.
Falls doesn't mean on the floor.
No, it means that you know how it is. The secret to keeping your bread from falling is when you take it out of the oven and it's boiling hot, you don't put it on a cold table. What you do is you put it on top of the stove where there's still some heat coming out of the stove. And that way the bread will not fall. But if you go and put it on a cold table, then it's more likely to fall.
So that
it just, and it might have venom, yeah. Everybody holds that water that has been boiled remains asar. How come when it comes to, right? So this was from the Chemi was suggesting if you bake the bread in the oven that it's mutter. But he also agrees if you boil water that was niskala that it remains asar. What's the difference? Why don't you say the same way the heat dissipates the poison in the bread? It's also should dissipate the poison in the boiled water. What's the difference? So my answer is kan ho or sholate, kan ain ho or sholate. It depends on how close does the fire get. So when you put the fire, I mean, I'm assuming it's an open oven, not like our ovens. But if you have an open oven,
that's how they make pita.
Like paint them right. So it's exposed to flames. Mm-hmm. So the flame, if the flame touches the food, that's one thing. But here it's just boiling the water. The flame doesn't touch the water. It only touches the pot. Kana kli mafsek, kana kli mafsek. It depends whether the kli is mafsek from the fire or not. So I don't know what the science is behind this, but that's what the Gemara says. Shmuel Amar Mayasli Rosh Hazeh. What can this wicked one, referring to the snake, they keep referring to the snake as the wicked one. In Anishosa Elachamin, I don't drink anything but hot water. In other words, Shmuel decided, you know what, I'm not going to take chances. I'm not going to drink any cold water. I'm only going to drink boiled water, and that way I'm safe.
Hot we water. Just said that boiling the water doesn't help.
Yeah, well, this is a different view. He must argue. That's a good point. I should have pointed that out.
The next line.
Yeah, mostly. Yeah. So, right. The Gemara is here citing a view that permits uncovered water that has been boiled. Okay, that's what Shmuel says. Milsei Yomar, from Shmuel's statement, we can derive. Sonin Shinasu Ham Mutar, the cold uncovered water that became hot water is permitted. Right? 27. Shmuel held, unlike the Gemara just said, that the heat inside a boiling pot destroys any venom that might be there. Since he drank hot drinks only, he was never in danger of being poisoned. Okay, very good. Amar Rav Chanina, Rosh Hazeh Datu Nikiya. This snake has very refined tastes. In a Shosa Chamash Nasitson, he won't drink hot water that has become cold water. So, you know, you know the difference. You boil water, and then you let it cool off and put it in the refrigerator. That tastes different than water straight out of the tap that's put in the refrigerator.
So you can taste the difference. Uncovered.
So you can leave that the prior one uncovered because the snake won't drink from it. Right? He says over here, boiled water is not as sweet as fresh water. I didn't check whether they, you know, what the rule is with bottled water. Will they drink from bottled water? Or is, all right. Mose Umra, Chamin Vinas Utsonin Mutarit. So obviously, what you could derive from Rav Chanina is that hot water that became cool is permitted even if it's uncovered. Okay. Both this and this are, in other words, whether the uncovered water is boiled, whether boiled water is left uncovered, we must suspect. And it is also Ayin Vavam Beis Masnisa Masayla Rav Yochanan. Okay, how are we doing here? Time check. Yeah, good. We're good. We're right on time. Masnisa Masayla Rav Yochanan. Chamin calls Mount Shemal and Hevel, as long as hot water is emitting steam, Harel Mutar, it's Mutar, because the snake sees the steam coming out of the water and he gets afraid of it. Once it stops steaming, though, too bad. Avol Mayim Hamgulin, uncovered water from before, meaning it was uncovered before you boiled it, Avol Bishamal Chamin, Harel Lasser, it doesn't help. Heating up will still be awesome, like we said originally. So this line, refute Shmuel, who held boiling destroys the venom. It seems in the bracket that this is a Tosefta. It seems unlikely that Shmuel would not have been aware of a Tosefta that contradicted his view explicitly. Perhaps Shmuel knew of a Brisa that disputed this Tosefta and ruled according to the Brisa. Okay, whatever it is. Make Voshin. This is the juices of pickled vegetables. Umei shlokos, the juices of cooked vegetables. Umei termusin, the juices of Egyptian lupines. Harel mutar, they're all mutar if they're left uncovered. A snake does not drink from these kinds of juices. Now, just stop right here for a second. If you remember, the Mishnah said there were only three fluids that were asur mishum giloy, right? Mayim,
milk,
yayin, and cholov. Those were the three. So I don't. I'm not exactly.
This is considered mayim.
So that's what you have to say. It's considered mayim because when you boil vegetables, you boil it with
water.
Okay, that's what I'm guessing. But it says over here that they are mutter, that the juices of Egyptian lupines of cooked vegetables, pickled vegetables, is permitted. Snake does not drink.
That means it was not. It wasn't poisoned before you cooked it.
Yeah,
that's what it means.
Absolutely. Yeah. Right. However, if you're talking about they were rinsed, So you're taking the water, rinsing off the vegetables, and the water that where it collects after you finish rinsing it, that the snake is not going to mind. Mm-hmm. If those are uncovered, it won't mind. Same thing. If you rinse off ripe or unripe grapes for a sick person, it is aser. Okay. Six. Yep. The Gemara now will cite a brice in regard to the wine in a wine strainer. So again, remember we talked about this. I don't have a clear vision of how this looked actually, but you have to imagine a container at the top. I'll say it's like a
like an hourglass, like a cone.
Right, like an very good. It's an hourglass shape in total. And at the thin part in the center, there is some kind of a filter, which causes whatever was on the top to strain out. Mm-hmm. Question is, if you had Vayin Megulin or Yayin Megulin that was poured into the top, will the strainer save the stuff that falls mm-hmm. into the bottom or not? That is the question.
Hamashamer shel Yayin. Will the poison get stuck in the filter?
That's the question. Hamashamer shel Yayin. You have a wine straining device. If the device was plugged on top, it was plugged. How was it plugged?
It's covered.
It's covered.
So the snake can't get to it.
Even though there's a little opening in the, even though the receptacle on the bottom is open because it's receiving the fluid as it goes through this filter, right. Nonetheless, it's mutter anyway. Why is that? See the next note. Okay, let's go to the next dripping. One. Because the dripping sound makes a noise and presumably scares the snake. Yeah, okay. Reb Yechem Yoimer, Im Hoysa Tachtona Mechusa, if the lower one was covered, Afa Bishol, Elyon Megula, Mutum, Neish Eres Nochash Omi Bisvacha. Even though the upper receptacle is open, it doesn't make a difference because the venom remains like a sponge floating upon the surface of the wine. While remains above the filter, the venom in the upper receptacle does not pass through the filter into the lower receptacle. Okay. My next note says 11. It says, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Chemi dispute 2 points. A, the filter of a wine strainer filters out venom. So Rabbi Chemi says it does, and the wine, the lower part is permitted, even if the upper one is open. And Rabbi Yehuda says that the venom passes through the filter and the wine below is dangerous, prohibited. That's machlokas number one. Number B, they also dispute whether the steady dripping of the wine is going to frighten the snake away. There you go. Okay, Amar Blaza. When is this true? Mishalo Taraf. If he didn't mix the wine in the upper receptacle and attempting to force the wine down faster. Avlam Taraf, Osir. If you try to speed up the process by stirring the wine in the top top thing, then it'll pass. In other words, you're creating enough pressure that it won't do its job, and the poison will get through. Okay. Login besiko mutter, an open flask within a chest, is permitted. So, I mean, the way I view a chest is just a big, large suitcase, a large piece of luggage, right? So you have an open flask of wine inside a piece of luggage. The luggage is closed, presumably. Is it closed? I mean, are we talking about luggage? It's closed? Or is the chest open?
Is the assumption that the snake is inside the luggage?
Right.
And they checked it before.
It says, we're speaking of a case in which he checked the chest for snakes before placing the flask inside.
It's on the refrigerator.
As on this rule that a closed refrigerator would require no prior checking. See, the fact that he mentions closed refrigerator made me think that the chest was actually closed. I just wasn't clear about this. Mechusav ein pakok aser. If the flask is outside of a chest, it's not plugged, the board is placed on top of it, the wine inside is prohibited. We're afraid he meant the snake was very sneaky. They can lift up board coverings and get in there, okay? Pokokveinu mechusa, if the flask opening is plugged, but the rim of the opening was not covered. Pokoko, quotes, mutter, if it's tight, then the wine inside is mutter. You just have to do it in a way in which the snake can't get it up. Treina Morin, so there's two questions. Two Amorim were just questioning the degree of tightness. One says the plug must be so tight that the flask can be picked up by its plug. So you know how it is. You know, we have the cork of a bottle of wine. Sometimes it's so tight you can pick up the whole bottle of wine with the cork. It's the same idea. The point of a weaver's reed, so a weaver had like this pointy needle, so to speak, that's used to help with the weaving. So if there's not enough space in there for him to even stick that in between the plug and the bottle or the container, then that's tight enough. Machlokas. Amar ba, manda avitabos. He wishes to act in the preferred manner, he should do both, plug it and cover the flask. Not to take any chances. Anyway, I didn't go through this too well. Login, Shaynicha, we should have a migdal, or Shukhaka, because of so. If you left the flask in a carriage trunk or closet and you forgot it there, then you found it later, Osir, the wine is Osir. Why is that? 21. Because he stopped guarding it, so it was open.
Seems like from this he didn't check to see if there was anything in there.
That's the next line. That's literally the next line. Barak.
No, I'm saying so. The first part must be where he didn't check anything, and that's why it's awesome. But if he did check, is what the Gemara is going to say next.
Well, I'm not understanding something, though. If we're talking about whether the box is open, so what's the difference whether he checked or not? I'm not sure I understand the difference. If he first checked the carriage trunk or closet and made sure there are no snakes or holes in which he could enter, and after all this left the flask there, mutter, the wine is permitted.
The flask must be open.
I mean, why would checking make a difference? We never say, if I just look around my room and I check and I see there's no snakes around, if I walk out, it's awesome, right? Unless you hold Yotzev and Nichnas as mutter. I don't know. Chad Ovda Asa Kumei Rebbe. Bachar. I'm sorry. Bachad Dechamse Megalim Mechase. Involving a person who saw a snake removing a covering from a beverage, then replacing it. So the snake actually cleaned up after itself. The person's testimony suggested that it was insufficient to merely cover a beverage, since it was possible for the snake to overcome this barrier without leaving evidence that it had done so. Amar, Rebbe said, and they rush us in, a kalkal sakisuyin, because should we then reject all coverings because of this wicked creature? Of course not. We may continue to rely on coverings for beverages because of the snake's behavior in this incident was so out of the ordinary. It's not a concern in general. So basically,
he didn't think the guy was drunk.
A light covering is sufficient, is basically what he's saying from this remark. Okay, that's basically it. I involved completed with 6 minutes to spare. One more line at the top, because it's two dots at the top. It is unreasonable to argue that the beverage in this very case is not prohibited, even if he did not see the snake actually drinking it. That the case involving a snake was obviously prohibited, obviously. So, in other words, if you see a snake bypass a cover, you can't claim, oh, you don't have to worry about it.
I would say that something
on seeing straight. Uh-huh. Okay. So the next page is we're gonna talk about Chol V'Yisrael. So I'm looking forward to talking about that on Ayin Zion.